¿Qué tal, mujeres? Espero todas estén bien y hayan pasado las últimas 2 semanas muy agradablemente. This is Mujer No Te Rajes, and I am your host, Morena Tan Mala. In this episode, we're going to be continuing the discussion on sexual orientation. However, this is going to be a personal take on it, so it will be less, how should I say it, objective. In the last episode, although I do state more of my opinions, I try to keep it objective. In this one, it is going to be completely based on my opinions because it is my life. And so it'll be, the things that I've faced, my reactions to them, the way that they've impacted my own life as well as the lives of the people surrounding me. I'll discuss a few different issues that I've, had to overcome or encounter. And of course, not all of them, because I would sit here and record forever, but the highlights. So, beforehand, I do want to apologize for the quality of this recording. I am recording on the go, I'm recording from my phone, so the quality may be a little bit off. So, just please bear with me. So, to start the conversation, I will begin with basically my earliest memories of being queer, I guess, without really recognizing them at that point. Now, obviously, with more understanding, more knowledge, I'm able to go back and realize, hey, I had these experiences that probably other people weren't having, at least the ones that were straight wouldn't. So I actually remember really young memories. I must have been like 5, 6, having my earliest memories where I understand now that the feeling that I had was a little bit more than just being happy to be around somebody. I had little crushes. Now, I didn't become aware of my own sexuality and those around me until I was maybe like 11, 12 years old. That might have been young, but I felt like that's when I started becoming aware of my surroundings in a sexual context a little bit more. Now, I was exposed to my sexuality at a really young age because I encountered a lot of different situations, a lot of traumatic situations that would expose me to my sexuality really early on. Now, whether that impacted my sexuality or sexual orientation or not is something that I don't know at this point. However, I do know that I was able to come to terms with being queer or being something other than straight at a very early age because of it. So when I came out, I must have been 13 years old. I didn't really come out to my parents because I wanted to. I was actually discovered, I guess you could call it. I had my first girl experience with someone who actually wasn't very feminine. And so I figured, oh, okay, this person kind of resembles a guy for me, they had the masculine qualities. So I was like, well, no, I'm not gay. It's just this one person. And then I realized, wait, I really like this. I do notice other feminine girls. I think it's the girl quality. I don't think it's the way that they look, right? So I started discovering a little bit more and more about myself as time went by. I had this person who I was really fond of, and I found her extremely attractive, and we just had a good little chemistry. So she became my experiment, I guess you could call it, as awful as that sounds. I think it was mutual that we were both going through, discovering our sexuality, and so we used each other in that sense. And well, I was found out by the school, actually. Someone told on me, you know, that they had seen something between us. And so I was pulled into the counselor's office and my mom was there and she was basically like, you know, bashing me on this and like just trying to interrogating me, trying to get it out of me, you know, what it was. And so I didn't say anything at that point. I didn't feel comfortable talking in front of the school officials and that sort of thing. So we took it home and, you know, she continued with the conversation, continued. And, you know, these words were coming out of her mouth. They were so accusatory. And they're like, what are you, a lesbian? And at that point, like, my understanding of lesbian was really not contextualized. I didn't know what lesbian meant. All I knew was this, like, scary word that to throw around. And it was offensive because it was something that was frowned upon. It was something that I was raised to believe was not good. That was a sin against God, that was, you know, all of these negative connotations. So of course I'm super offended and I'm like, no, how could you call me that? How could you say that to me? You know, like, I'm your daughter. I haven't changed. It's still me. And I'm like trying to convey that whatever I'm feeling, I don't fully understand yet. I don't know what to call it or call myself. All I know is I have these feelings. And so my mom is pushing and pushing for an answer. ¿Qué eres? You know, dime que no eres una lesbiana, esto, lo otro. Until I was like finally to the point where I'm going crazy with my own thoughts because I don't know what I am. And I just respond, you know what? No sé lo que soy, no sé qué llamarle, pero sé que siento una atracción, que me gusta en un sentido diferente quizás a las demás personas. I like girls. And she was appalled, right? Like, gasp for air and faints kind of thing. And that's literally almost what she did. She started crying and said, ¿qué hice para merecer esto? ¿Qué hice mal? ¿En qué te fallé como papá, como mamá? O sea, ¿qué hicimos como padres para merecer esto? And I'm thinking like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Like, I don't know. I don't know what went wrong. I'm sorry that there is something wrong with me, but this is me. I don't know what to do with it. And I'm just crying. I'm sobbing. My mom is sobbing. And my dad walks through the door. He sees both of us crying and he's like, nope. And walks right back out. He said, I'm not dealing with this. Bye. So my mom is like, you know, my dad's name is Jose. And she's like, Jose, you know, ven, por favor, ayúdame. Nuestra hija esto. Creo que es una lesbiana. And my dad was just like, ¿saben qué? Entre ustedes hablen, I'm out. And he did not want to take part in the conversation, which was surprising to me. I expected to get like a super negative reaction out of him. There was actually no reaction. And it was kind of scary because I didn't know what to expect at that point. Well, my mother continued with the bashing and, you know, just her own reaction, which was a little bit melodramatic. I'm not going to lie. She could have had a better reaction to that, but I feel because it was really out of custom and out of tradition to deal with, she didn't know how to talk to me. No one in our family had ever come out before. So it was really hard for me to pave that way. And basically, I tell her, I don't know exactly what I am, but I know that I like girls. And so when I said that I wasn't a lesbian, she kept wanting me to tell her a fixed label. And so I was like, okay, fine. I'm bisexual because I don't know what I am. I know that I still date guys. That's what I'm used to being around. That's who I've had most of my experiences of, like, whatever a relationship could be called at 13 years old, you know, it's something new. So I didn't want to jump into the label of lesbian when I had no idea what that meant. I said I was a bisexual, right? So that was worse than being a lesbian to my mother. My mother said that that was something basically unreal, that it was unrealistic and that it was not a thing, and that I was either one or the other. So I was either straight or I was a lesbian, and that she wouldn't have or tolerate me calling myself a bisexual, because to her that was somebody who was dirty, who was confused, and who didn't know what they wanted. So I said, fine. And, you know, at this point, I'm getting a little bit angry. I'm getting resentful. I'm feeling really attacked. And so I take this oppositional stance to her, where I'm just going to challenge her at this point. I really don't know what I'm saying, but I'm like, you know what? Fine. If you're not going to give me options and you're not going to understand me, then I'm a lesbian and that's it. And so she's like, okay, you're a lesbian. Well, I'm not going to have it. And, you know, I think it's your friends. It's your friends. I'm sure it's your friends. We're going to move you schools. And I'm sitting there looking at her like, no, I don't think this is a problem, quote unquote, or issue that is going to go away with me moving to a different place. I think this will follow me. And so I started being oppositional even more heavily. And I told her, look, I'm going to be really honest with you. I don't think that you moving me is going to change anything, because anywhere that I go, there will be women, there will be girls, and I will find myself attracted to them. There, I can't run away from this. So you have to learn to deal with it and help me deal with it. Mind you, I was very vocal even then about my feelings. So I was able to convey at least that there was nothing that she would do or could do that would change this for me, because it was my own experience and I was feeling it and I couldn't turn it off. So she was sure, convinced that it was my friend. She wanted to go talk to this person I had been discovered with and, you know, tell her mom what was going on. But I told her very honestly that it wasn't this girl, that it could have been any other girl, that it wasn't their influence. It was actually my own. That I was the one who basically had been open to the signs and who had pursued it. So at this point, she's looking at me like I'm the monster, right? And she's telling me that I'm not allowed to have any girlfriends over, that I'm not allowed to hang out with anybody after school. So basically, I got grounded for coming out. My life became super restricted. They took my phone away. I was in trouble. I was in big trouble. And so my life became really micromanaged, and I fell into a depression. I didn't want to go to school anymore. I remember that this was coming out of eighth grade, going into my freshman year. I actually missed like the first semester, and then I went for maybe like a month, and then I asked to be homeschooled. I didn't want to be at school. And it was becoming really hard to be in my own environment, to be around my own parents, because I felt really misunderstood. In that time that I was at school, I had another situation where my mom, I kept obviously seeing girls, and I had someone new who I actually called my girlfriend, and I really liked this person. My mom found out about it, and she went to school, talked to this girl, and told her that if she didn't stay away from me, that she was going to tell her parents that she was gay. This girl obviously wasn't out, was terrified to come out. And so she's like, I'm sorry, you know, I really like you, but I'm going to keep my distance because I can't have this happen. So I'm obviously pissed at my mom, right? I'm like, ¿cómo pudiste hacerme esto? You know, the melodrama continues. But I was really hurt. I felt really betrayed by my mother. So at that point, I was like, you know what? I'm not going back to school. Like, that was humiliating. This is too much for me. And so that's when she decides that maybe homeschooling is the best thing for me. So I get homeschooled. And I'm going to church, you know, like I'm going through my depression and I'm looking into my religion, into my spirituality to make me feel better. And so the thing is that I still am seeing girls though. Like I'm not, that hasn't stopped. I can't turn that off. I'm still thinking about that. I'm still experiencing, you know, my relationships. And so I go through a heartbreak, you know, my first heartbreak, and it really puts me in a position where, like, I'm like, okay, maybe this is God's way of telling me that I shouldn't be with girls. So I take that very literal, that supposed sign, and I decide to try a relationship with a guy. So I do. I meet someone. I let it be whatever it becomes. He becomes my boyfriend. My mom is ecstatic, right? She throws me a party. Like, literally, she throws me a family gathering. I don't even know what excuse she used, but literally it was to introduce my now boyfriend when I'm 16 years old to my grandparents and to my family, because she's so happy that I'm, you know, embracing this lifestyle. And my mother is not a bad person. She is my best friend and was my best friend even then. But she just could not wrap her mind around me being gay because she wouldn't have grandchildren, or so she thought. She thought that it meant I was going to have the hardest lifestyle because of all the challenges that gay people faced. And three, because of her personal beliefs. She just felt like I was going to go to hell. And I'm sure she still struggles with that belief. But she was my mother, and she loved me unconditionally, or so she said. And I believe her. She was trying to do what was best in her own understanding, right? But it had to get really bad before it got better. And so I'm with this guy, and mind you, I'm 16 years old, and I have a sexual relationship with this guy. And I'm being with him intimately, but I completely shut out all of this other part of me that is gay, right? Because I was really cultured in that area, even at a young age. I knew about, like, community groups, and I knew about literature, like gay literature. I was really oriented in that area, and because I was really excited to learn about it. But when I embraced this supposed traditional lifestyle, I completely shut out all of that. And it became this, like, obsession with mimicking the life that I thought I was supposed to have. And I did care about this guy. He was a really nice guy to me. He cared about me, but he didn't know me. He didn't know so much about me because I didn't allow that. I had all of this part of my life that I was hiding. And even though people knew that I had experienced, you know, relationships with girls, they chose not to talk about it. So here I am in this relationship with this guy, and I'm dating him 6 months. So now I'm 17, and I'm struggling a little bit more every day with staying in the relationship because I'm fighting these suppressed thoughts, these suppressed attractions. And I keep telling myself, you know, this isn't what God wants for you. This isn't what our religion has taught you. It's not right. You need to push it out. You need to suppress it. It'll go away. You just appreciate these girls, you know, but it's not in the way that you think. So I'm, like, brainwashing myself. Okay. Mind you, it's heavy, and it's taking a toll on my mental health. And I'm still being intimate with somebody whom I do care about, but don't feel that kind of attraction for. And so I'm coming home crying, and my mom is like, "What's going on with you? You know, like, I thought you were happy." And I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Like, every time I'm with this guy, I feel like I'm living a lie. I feel like I just feel empty and sad. And my mom's like, "It's okay. You know, maybe it's something else. Like, what is it?" And she would hug me, and she just couldn't understand how to help me until I met someone. I met this girl. I was 17 and a half, and I felt such a strong attraction for her. There was no denying it at that point. I couldn't. There was no more. I tried finding things I didn't like about her. I remember trying to suppress the emotions that I felt. I would tell myself, hey, no, like, there's this wrong with her, there's that wrong with her, you don't really like her, or you do like her, but you just like her as a friend, you know? But it became inevitable, and this person pursued me, and so when she did, I just was like, I can't live this lie anymore. So I told myself that I would never, ever put myself through that again. I had to come out to this guy and tell him, you know, I'm sorry, that it was a great experience for me, that I learned a lot about myself, but that it wasn't what I wanted it to be for us, either one of us, for me or for him. I thought he deserved more, someone who could be fully committed to their relationship as well as to him. And he didn't understand it. Obviously, that would be really traumatic for any person. And I felt awful for having put him through that because I couldn't be honest with myself. But it was something I had to go through, and I learned a lot from it. So I broke up with him, gave myself some time to deal with my emotions. I kept talking to this person, and, you know, we started dating, and then we engaged in a relationship. And I had to come out to my mom again. When I did, she was livid with me, and just couldn't understand why I would be giving up a relationship with someone who really cared about me and, you know, gave me, you know, the things that I guess a traditional relationship should and would give. I was really young still, but for my parents, that was normal because, you know, they got married at what, like 17 years old. So, they were pursuing or pushing or happy really with me being in a committed relationship. They didn't mind as long as I focused on my studies and, you know, kept myself together. But when I broke up with him, they were really upset. Really upset. My mother was disappointed in me. She said a lot of things to me, hurtful things to me, for having hurt him and for going back to that conversation about my sexual orientation. She just wouldn't have it. But I was older, and I wasn't going to allow anyone to bully me into a lifestyle that wasn't making me happy, that was betraying what I truly felt. So I stood up to my mother and I told her, you know, I love you dearly, and I appreciate your opinions, and I appreciate your presence in my life, but I will do whatever I have to do, excommunicate anyone who I have to, who is going to make me feel bad about who I am, because I've felt bad enough myself. And she understood what that I meant by that. She understood that if it meant walking away from her, I was going to do that. And she basically said to herself and to me that she couldn't understand it, but that she was willing to try. And, you know, I introduced her to my partner then, and slowly, you know, she came to know the person that I was with, to know our relationship, and she came to love this person a lot. And my mother is a completely different person now with my relationships, but it's been because I've fought hard to educate her on it, to give her a different perspective, and to make her understand that ultimately this is my life and my happiness, and that I'm struggling with it already, and that the last thing you want to do is be struggling with your identity and come home and have somebody bash you, because guess what? The entire world is already doing that to you. You want to come home to your safe haven and feel protected and loved and not judged. So it was an incredibly difficult journey for me. And even more when it came to me getting older and having to talk about marriage. Because for a long time, I was with my partner for over 8 years. And in that relationship, obviously after being with somebody that long, you want to talk about marriage, but
I remember both of us not wanting to engage in that conversation too much, because every time the conversation came up, it was like, well, who's going to come to our wedding? And we're both very family oriented people. So it was a hard conversation to hold, because it was like, well, we want to have our family there. We ended up engaging in that conversation about like 5 years into our relationship. I talked to my parents. Her parents were extremely hard to come out to as well. But even they, who were older folks, super traditional Catholics, came around to the idea, came around to my presence, whom became my family. And it's been an incredible journey just to see our progression, and how when you're coming from a genuine place of love and you teach them that you're not a monster, you're just a human who wants to love and who has these feelings that are true and natural to you, because that's the way that you've felt your entire life. It's such an incredible feeling to be recognized and respected. And I never needed someone's approval to live my life, only my own, but I sure as hell needed respect and support, because we all do as humans. That's exactly what we need. We don't need each other's approvals. I don't need you to like me, but I need you to respect me, because I'm respecting you. And that's what I've asked of the people that I've encountered who are so oppositional to my existence because of this one quality. But that was the thing, is that I'm a multidimensional person who was capable of doing so many things, but I was being shunned out because of this one quality. This one quality overpowered anything else. And this one quality was actually, it was not the only thing about me, but it was a very important aspect of the essence of me, because I loved in my relationship deeply and wholeheartedly, and it was pure and innocent love. It wasn't with malice or sin or lust, even though all relationships have a little bit of that. It just was. And so when we engaged in the conversation of marriage, you know, we decided we would invite whoever was important to us, and if we mattered to them, they would show. And some people didn't. Some people couldn't come. They couldn't come to our wedding because to them that would be supporting what we stood for. But the thing was that we existed. We were there, whether they approved of it or not, whether they supported it or not. And I respected whoever couldn't show, it wasn't held against them, but it was just, it was ironic, because just because you don't support something in this case doesn't make it non-existent. You can't just ignore that conversation in the room, especially when it's one that really doesn't have an effect on you, that really doesn't hurt you or anyone else. To try to compare it to diabolical or truly harming things is just not parallel. It doesn't match to say that someone who is gay is the same thing as a child molester is just so unfair, because there's no comparison there. You are two adults who are engaging in a willing situation because of inherent qualities within each of you that cannot be denied. It is just not the same thing. And I get the whole understanding behind the Bible, but it's just ironic that people will choose to acknowledge that, but they'll choose to ignore the laws of wedlock. They'll choose to ignore this sin or that sin, the sin of judging, and they'll want to say that this one is worse than the other, when there is nothing that is written to say in the Bible to justify that. It's just a bias, and it's something that people are doing because it benefits them, because it, maybe because it scares them, maybe because they feel like if they reject it, it, you know, that they don't have to deal with it within themselves or within somebody around them. But that's just illogical. It's not rational. And so I want to remind you that there are so many different types of orientations that are not even on a spectrum right now. There is no label for them. Humans are so constantly evolving that there is no way for us to sit here and say that I will be this forever, or that you will be that forever. Now, you may choose not to ever engage in that and choose to not ever explore your options, which is totally fine. I think in a way religion does that because people don't have a great time with change. So it tries to establish like these rules, but humans are evolving. There is no way that we are going to practice the same customs the rest of existence. As we change, so should our rules, so should our customs. They should adapt. So I'm asking you, because obviously the words of the Bible are written in paper. They're written. But we are human and we can rewrite rules. They can be changed. And anything that is written by us in a common understanding, in a common place, is sacred. Because ultimately we are what carries the gospel of God. It lives within us, not on a piece of paper. We are the understanding. If we learn to view life from a place of love and empathy, we will be open to so many more possibilities and rationale of life. So I'm telling you, and I'm giving you, sharing with you my experience, which is personal and sacred to me, which has cost me blood, sweat, and tears, so that you may have a further understanding of what it is to live in our shoes. That it is a daily conversation with one person or another, or with yourself. It is not being able to just walk through life with this sort of entitlement because you live in the traditional expected sense. We have to constantly be reminded that we are different, and we learn to live with it. We are not victims. We make what we want of our lives, but there are people who are victimized because of this. And so I ask you to be more empathetic when you approach this conversation. Think of what you're saying before you say it. Ask questions if you want to know more. But don't sit there and pretend to be interested when you're only doing it to counter with a judgment. Listen wholeheartedly. Pretend it's your child who's coming out, who you are curious about, because I promise you that you are going to be more graceful when it hits your blood. And I've always said this, I don't wish this upon anybody because it is a really hard life to come out to, but if they happen to be gay or anything in between, I really hope that it's to families who are open and who can support them and love them. It's a beautiful life when you can embrace it, because being different makes you humble. It gives you perspective. It teaches you to be connected with your surroundings and a community, because you know that is the only way that you're going to survive this. And I've had that experience as being a woman, as being a lesbian, as being a daughter of immigrants. I've had this as a survival of different sorts of traumas, and I'm so grateful for my experiences. And I used to wish that I was different, that I had it easier. Now I'm so thankful that I'm not. And not because there's anything wrong with being straight, but I've been able to learn and grow, be so much because of these experiences, that I wouldn't trade my experience and my knowledge of the world for anything. I appreciate you so much for listening, mujeres, and I hope that, again, this serves as a guide for when you have to encounter this situation, that you know how to approach it in an empathetic and sensitive way. I hope you'll listen in for the next episode. Again, this is Mujer No Te Rajes, and this is Morena Tan Mala signing off. Hasta la siguiente vez, ladies.